Well, a good morning. We welcome you in to Radio Roxborough's Gardener's Corner program, a Friday feature here on WKRX. My name is Rob Hall. Welcome in to the program. Brought to you today by T.G. Brooks Supply Company, 411 Helena Mariah Road in beautiful Timberlake. We'll share some information with you from Jason Acock Auctioneering. Jason is actually having several auctions coming up in the very near future. In fact, one will be tomorrow, and that auction is the Growers Ginning Company, and that will be in Aiden, North Carolina. We'll make mention of that, and we'll share some information with you also from Jason Acock Auctioneering on their farm equipment auction of Steve Hooks LLC Farms, and that auction is going to be in Fremont. And then Jason has several other upcoming auctions, and just to kind of make a long story a little short, he has one tomorrow, then on the 25th, then the first Saturday in March, and that March auction is going to be in Oxford, March 4th. Mm-hmm. And then he has an auction, the Justice Consignment Auction, on March 11th. So Jason Acock Auctioneering is going to be busy the next several weekends. We'll also share some information with you from Loftus and Sons Land Services and J.T. Allison, Jody and Kim rocking the county one load at a time. Our special guest today is Miss Kim Woods. Kim is the livestock agent for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service offices in Person and Granville counties. Good morning, Kim. How you doing?
Good morning, Rob. I am doing well. Glad to have some warmer temperatures. As I've gotten older, I don't appreciate winter as much as I used to. And I know that need to be thankful for the rain that's fallen, but I sure do miss the sunshine that we've seen the last couple of days.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. This morning, I guess 5:30 or 6, it was 63 degrees, and we're checking in at the Raleigh Regional Airport at Person County. It's 59 degrees, and the temperature is supposed to be down around 51 by 5, so it's going to cool off and be down around 28 tonight, and tomorrow, Saturday, sunny, high near 51. But just looking ahead, it looks like we're going to have some really nice weather. You know, next week got a slight chance of rain on Tuesday, but just looking at Wednesday and Thursday, they're talking in the 70s, so that will be extremely nice. Yep. But anyway, with all that being said, it's still February. It's time for you to start making plans about whatever it may be that you want to do this spring, whether you are a horse person, a cattle person, a gardener, or just a grain farmer or tobacco farmer. Nazi time, things need to be put in gear. Kim, and I didn't ask you about this before we went on air, but you have set up a Coggins and vaccination clinic for horses. And when is that? Mm-hmm. Is that the 25th? Was it tomorrow?
No, it was actually last Saturday.
Oh, okay.
In Oxford.
Okay, so you've already had that. Okay.
I already have it. But since you brought that up, and I'm sure people have probably seen some stuff about this, but 2 weeks ago, I guess, or maybe a week and a half ago, I don't know, I lose track of time, some information went out from the Department of Agriculture that there have been quite a few cases of equine infectious anemia in the state. And so it's really important to get your horses tested for that disease, and that's what the Coggins test for. Coggins is the name of the fellow that invented the test, but a test for the disease, equine infectious anemia. And so that's something that can be spread from horse to horse, like through biting flies, horse flies, and some other flies that can bite one horse that has it and then go to another horse. And if they try and take another blood meal from that second horse, they can transfer the disease. So if you haul your horses on the road for any reason, really, whether it's to a show, to just, you know, haul the horse down to your neighbor's house to go trail riding or whatnot, they really should be tested for equine infectious anemia, that Coggins test, to make sure that you're not taking a positive horse around other horses to try and you know, curtail the spread of that disease as much as possible. It is required if your horses travel up and down the road on a trailer, they're supposed to have a negative Coggins test. You're supposed to have that with you as your trailer and your horse from one spot to another. And certainly, you know, if you've got your horse at a barn with other horses, it probably would be good to test and make sure there's no issues there. But anyhow, since you brought that up, I did want to make mention that we have had several of the horses test positive for that disease in the state. So if you're a horse owner, you may want to think about getting your horse tested sooner rather than later. And certainly now is a good time to get those spring vaccinations done. And they have time to kick in and start doing their job before you maybe are mingling your horse around other horses at shows or trail rides or whatever the case may be. So now's the time to get all that stuff done.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that. And I had saw a posting about where it was going to be a clinic in Granville County, but I didn't realize it was this past weekend. But anyway, nevertheless, moving right along, Kim, speaking of things happening, I had somebody was asking me just a few days ago, was it a good time of year to start pruning? And I said, absolutely. Now, one thing that would be extremely beneficial to anybody that has any plants or trees, if they want to do their best they can to care for them, is to attend the pruning workshop that will be taking place next Saturday, the 25th, and that will be at 450 CC Andrews Road in Timberlake. And so if you were to attend that pruning demonstration, you could pick up a lot of information there in 30 minutes that could, you know, really give you some insight on the proper ways to prune the different trees, you know, plants and shrubs, stuff like that. Give us a little bit more information about this pruning workshop.
So this is a workshop that Johnny Coley, our horticultural agent for both Person and Granville counties, is going to be doing. And it is next Saturday, which is February 25th, so a week from tomorrow. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, so just a couple hours long. And it's going to be at the location you mentioned, Rob, 450 CC Andrews Road, which is in Timberlake, North Carolina. It's not too far off of Highway 501. It'll be a great opportunity to come out and learn about how to properly prune some of the fruiting plants that grow in this part of the state, how to train those plants for good branch structure so they can develop and turn into good fruit trees. So that they'll have a long, healthy life, hopefully, and all that kind of good stuff. So it'd be a really good opportunity to come learn. I know pruning can be, and it is for me, intimidating. You're afraid you're going to, you know, do something wrong or cut the wrong branch or whatever. So this would be a great way to come out and get some information about how to prune those plants so that you can go home and learn and do your own fruit trees at home. So some of the things that they're going to be covering are blueberries, apples, pears, peaches, grapes, and figs. And I think I heard Johnny say something the other day. They may have an opportunity to look at some crepe myrtle ornamental trees or shrubs as well. But it's mainly going to be fruit trees, And then again, if they have the chance, I think they may look at some crepe myrtles. But again, the date is next Saturday, the 25th, from 10 to 12, so just a couple hours of your morning. And again, right there, just a little bit south of Roxburgh in Timberlake at 450 CC Andrews Road. We do have an Eventbrite site set up, so you can go to eventbrite.com and look for events in Roxborough, and then type in fruit pruning workshop, and it should come up. Or you can just call the office, and we can put you down on the list. There's no charge. It is a free workshop. So if you have fruit trees or thinking about getting some fruit trees and want to know how to prune them to keep them healthy, this would be a great event for you to come out and learn about that stuff.
336-599-1195 is the phone number to the Person County Office of the Cooperative Extension Service, or 919-603-1350 is the phone number to the Granville County Office. If you need more information about the pruning demonstration next Saturday. Kim, I believe you said that you had some other information that Johnny had requested that you pass along to the listeners.
Yep. He also has, in conjunction with a horticulture agent from Vance and Warren counties, they're going to be doing a landscape workshop. It's going to be March 7th. I don't even know what day. That is a Tuesday. March 7th, looks like it's going to be from about 8 o'clock in the morning is when doors open and registration starts, and it looks like they're going to adjourn just right before lunchtime. So it's going to be at the Vance County Farmers Market, which is in Henderson. Really super nice facility, and it's an indoor facility, so you'll be able to be in out of the weather. Should we have not great weather that day, if it's a little cool or rainy or whatnot, you'll be able to be inside. Again, it's March 7th from about 8 in the morning to just shortly before noon. They're going to be looking at, so looks like one of the first topics is insect management in annual color beds. So like, you know, flower beds that you may have around your house or whatever that are annuals, just plants that grow for one growing season. Then they're going to look at disease management in annual color beds. Looks like they're going to have somebody come in and talk about advanced disease management in turf grass. And then they're going to look at shade tree pests. So several different topics that day. If you are somebody that needs some pesticide recertification credits, looks like they have applied for 3 hours in the categories of D, L, N, and X. And it looks like 1 hour has been applied for the category G. It's also a free event. You should be able to search on the Eventbrite website for that event. It's Triangle North Landscape Workshop. Or, again, you can call either the Granville or the Person County office if you're in these areas. And you just mentioned the Person County number. The Granville County number is 919-603-1350. Person County, again, is 336-599-1195. And, again, this event is March 7th. In Henderson, in the morning from about 8 to noon. So if you've got some landscape concerns, need some more information about landscaping around your yard, this may be an event you want to check out.
Sounds like a great opportunity to go ahead and make your plans and get those dates set down to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, here it is, you know, well, just a little bit halfway through the month of February. March will soon be here, and I'm sure that it will be a lot of things happening and taking place. Although one thing we want to make mention of, if you do any soil samples, that is a cost of $4 per sample to have them tested, and that fee will stay into effect until April 1st. Is that right, Kim?
That is correct, yeah. So now is still their busy time of year, so they are still charging like you mentioned, Rob, $4 per sample or $4 per box. So if you're doing your yard or your vegetable garden or whatnot, you know, that's not a terrible amount of money to pay for, especially for the amount of information that you get back. And you're absolutely right that that fee will stay in place through March 30th. So basically it goes back to being free April 1st. And I was actually trying to pull up the website here. And so, they've actually kind of gotten a little bit caught up. Right now they're saying the process time for soil samples is about 2 weeks. We have seen it as much as 8 and 10 weeks. Over this past winter. So apparently they've gotten more caught up, maybe not completely caught up yet, but more caught up than they were. So if you get your sample down to them, and we can help you with that, but you know, once they receive the sample, you should have your results in a couple of weeks. And so that's still plenty of time to be able to get lime and fertilizer and amendment put down on your soil, whether we're talking about your yard, flower beds, pastures, hay fields, row crop fields, any of that stuff. So yeah, now you can go ahead and get it sent down to them now. And then again, come April 1st, the fee will go back to $0.
And as you said, that's a small price to pay. Yep. to even the playing field, so to speak, to know what, right, what amount of lime and fertilizer you need, depending on whatever it may be. Your lawn,
exactly,
or hay fields or whatever. Now, Kim, mm-hmm, I need to take a break to get a couple of messages on. One from
sure,
T.G. Brooks Supply Company and Jason Acock Auctioneering. When we come back, you have a lot of information that you want to spread and share with our listeners, and we'll do that right after these messages.
Even though the calendar says it's February, we all know that spring 2023 is not far behind. There is plenty of time now to come to T.G. Brooks Supply Company and get some sound advice for your lawn preparation coming up. They have had so much experience, so why not let the professionals work with you on your spring lawn and garden planning? They serve homeowners all over Person and surrounding counties. They'll tell you all about the advantages of pre-emergent weed control or weed and feed. You want to be sure to perk up your lawn with fertilizer, lime, and weed control to get your lawn off to a proper spring start this year. To beautify your flower garden and shrubs around your home, T.G. Brooks Supply Company carries hardwood as well as dyed mulches, and they do deliver right to your home or office, and they also will sell it by the scoop or by the bag. They feature all of the popular lawn and garden chemicals and treatments, insecticides, herbicides, and they always carry the soils like topsoil, bulk planting soil, potting soil, cow manure, and pine needles to make your place look sharp. They have equipment for sale or for rent, like spreaders, power pluggers, and lots of lawn and garden tools, and of course, wheelbarrows. They have stepping stones and wall stones. And before you know it, it will be March. They will have all of your flower garden and vegetables and your garden supplies. When it comes to beautification, come in today and talk over your plans. Let them remind you that T.G. Brooks Supply Company has your water heater elements, thermostats, and pressure relief valves. They have your Taylor wood stove parts and Comfort Glow heaters for extra warmth. Person County and surrounding areas count on T.G. Brooks Supply Company that serves the homeowner, farmer, and those in construction since 1936. Phone anytime at 336-364-3016.
Jason Acock, Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces a farm equipment auction for Steve Hooks Farms and Others semi-retirement auction sale to be held Saturday, February 25th at 10 a.m. at 1250 Hooks Road in Fremont, North Carolina. For terms, more information, and to view photographs of items up for auction, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. This auction will be held rain or shine. bidding available in person or online through proxy bid. Up for auction on Saturday the 25th. Tractors, combine, construction equipment, sprayers, all types of equipment including peanut and cotton equipment, GPS units, trucks, and much more. Call Jason Acock at 919-495-0285 for more information on this auction to be held Saturday, February 25th at 10 a.m. at 1250 Hooks Road in Fremont. That's JasonAcockAuctioneering.com for more information. Now, that auction will be held next Saturday, the 25th, and in a little bit, we'll give you more information about the auction coming up on the 18th. Miss Kim Woods is our guest here on the program, and we really do appreciate Kim Woods taking time with us here on the Gardener's Corner program today. Kim, just if you would, let's talk a little bit about, you know, things that happen in the springtime, and it's a good time to start spraying some herbicide for broadleaf plants. Is that right?
Well, I would say it's definitely the time to start scouting to see if those weeds are out there. And like you mentioned, the weather forecast for next week, I think there's what I saw last night, maybe after Monday or Tuesday, there's supposed to be several days that are probably going to be in the upper 60s or low 70s. So late next week might be a time to think about putting out some broadleaf herbicides. So some things that you might have popping up in your pasture now, because I know they're in my pasture. I certainly don't have a completely weed-free pasture by any stretch of the imagination, but some things that you might see out there now are those beautiful yellow flowers that we typically see those blooms, you know, in late April and May and June. Those plants are there. They're not blooming. They're not yellow, but those little plants are there. So if you walk out in your pasture or your hay field and look down, they may be only 3-4 inches tall at this point, but they're there. And so when they're this small, they're fairly easy to kill. And if you try and kill them now with the broadleaf herbicide, you're killing that plant before it has time to bloom, when it makes that pretty yellow flower, and that's when it sets seed. And those seed are going to make the plants that we'll have there next year. So if you can spray the weeds that are there now, when they're this small, they're easier to kill. You're going to kill them before they have a chance to make plants next year. So you can start to get that yellow buttercup flower weed under control in your pastures. Some other things that you may see out there, chickweed is also a winter annual. It is starting to grow this time of year, so you may see some chickweed species out there. Henbit, which has a smaller purplish bloom, that's also a winter annual. So you probably, if you've had that in the past, you probably are that's starting to pop up and be seen. And again, these are not going to be, they're not going to be tall. They're not going to have the blooms on them because they're not that far along in their life cycle. But if you can spray those weeds now, and if you can spray them up until about the middle of March, then you should be able to kill them with the herbicide before they have a chance to, you know, make those blooms and set seed for next year. And so doing it at this time of year will help you start to get that population under control. If you wait until they've bloomed and, you know, those yellow flowers are out there, or in the case of henbit, those purple flowers are out there, you're almost wasting your time and your money on that herbicide. Because those plants, those particular plants that are there and have those blooms on them, they're going to die in July anyhow. They can't handle the hot summer. They're annual plants. They only grow one growing season. Their growing season is the wintertime. So come July, when we hit our high temperatures, they're going to die. But if they have...
You there? some reason, we lost connection with Miss Kim Woods. Bear with me. James Shorty Loftus and Jason Loftus are proud to announce that they are the owners and operators of Loftus and Son Land Services, LLC. Call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or call Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780 for all of your grading, landscaping, forestry, mulching, field edging, cleanup, driveways, and gravel work. That's Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC. Family-owned land services with over 40 years experience spanning three generations. Again, you can call James Shorty Loftus at 336-592-6381 or Jason Loftus at 919-282-4780. Be sure to check out that Facebook page, Loftus and Sons Land Services, LLC.
This is a message for the area concerning church broadcast time. Radio and TV broadcast time slots are available on radio stations WRXO AM, WKRX FM, and on Spectrum Channel 191 TV here in Roxborough. If your church or any other church you know of would like to find out more about a community church ministry on radio and or TV, contact us here at radio stations WRXO and WKRX at 336-599-0266. Call anytime during the week about available airtime and get the information you may need to plan. We will be happy to hear from you and perhaps get you on the road to a church ministry through radio or TV.
All righty, I think we've got our connection back with Miss Kim Woods. Kim, are you with me?
I am here. Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I just kind of lost you all of a sudden. And anyway, so my apologies, but things happen sometimes. But anyway, just kind of moving right along. Kim, as you were talking, that, you know, you don't want to waste any money. And so what you were pretty much saying is you may be trying to kill some things that are going to die anyway, but you need to get out in the field and pastures and identify what weeds that you want to get rid of. And if you don't know what they are, you can, you know, take
give
a sample.
Give me a call.
That's right. And you can help them figure it out. Now,
yep.
One thing you had talked about before we went on air, a lot of people that, you know, have a lot of grazing cattle, horses, and things like that. Some like clover, some don't. But you were saying that it is a type of 2,4-D that will actually kill the clover, and then they have some that will not harm clover, but some people don't want to spray 2,4-D to kill other broadleaf weeds because they are afraid that it will harm the clover. But you've got some statistics that will kind of help clear up those issues, right?
Well, basically, yes. I won't say I have statistics because I didn't take that good of notes yesterday. But I was listening to and watching a webinar yesterday, and it was a forage specialist from, I believe it was from Alabama. And he was talking about he had done a study one time, and why did people not try and control the broadleaf weeds that they may have in their hay fields or pastures. And the top two reasons, then they kind of flip-flop on two different studies, was cost was one reason, and they didn't want to hurt their clover was another reason. So he had gone out and done some studies and some plots that he had down there in Alabama. And with some of the more common broadleaf herbicides that we can use, like 2,4-D, and I think Weedmaster may have been on that list as well, the clover was not really harmed. And in fact, he went out and counted clover in the pasture, or, you know, in a specific section, like probably a 2-foot square by 2-foot square, counted clover in that section, and then went back after they had sprayed and counted clover. And there was actually more clover after spraying. And so a lot of that can probably be attributed to you've killed the weeds. So now the clover can thrive and take the nutrients, take the sunshine, and the water that we may have fall on those pastures. And they're not having to compete for those things against those weeds because those weeds are no longer there. Now, I'm not going to say that's the case with every broadleaf herbicide that's out there. I think, and again, I'm going off my memory of the slide that he showed yesterday. Duracore, is probably one that you're not going to see, any increase in clover if you were to use that herbicide. And I think maybe even, I think Grazon Next High Load, he actually did see some, increase in clover after spraying that. So, I'm not trying to say you can go out and spray Grazon Next High Load at the very highest rate and you're not gonna kill some of your clover. You probably will. But I think the point is keeping the clover, is not really a valid reason any longer for not spraying the herbicides. We know that 2,4-D at a rate of 1.5 pints per acre or less is fine for clover. And again, if we're getting out there and trying to kill those, weeds, those broadleaf weeds before they get really big, 1.5 pints of 2,4-D will kill a lot of things. Now, it's not going to kill everything. It's not going to kill horse nettle, which is something that we fight on our farm a whole lot, but it will kill a lot of things. So my point being, get out there, scout your pasture, see what you have, see what you need to get rid of, and don't worry about the clover. The clover will most likely bounce back and come back after you've gotten rid of that competition. And years ago, kind of going along with that same thought process, years ago I read about a study about how cattle preferred to graze a pasture with no weeds and no clover versus a pasture with clover but also weeds. So the cows prefer to go and graze in a place that doesn't have a whole lot of weed pressure. So getting rid of those weeds is important. Fertilizer costs are high, so we need to fertilize the grass that we want out there and not the weeds. So get rid of the weeds.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Kim. It certainly is. And that is the thing, you know, as we all know, a weed is a plant growing in an undesirable location. But those weeds, they take up fertilizer. They take up water. Mm-hmm. And if you can, you know, get rid of the weeds and what amount of moisture is there and what amount of fertilizer and nitrogen is there, have your grass to take it up. But, I know a lot of people love, you know, to have clover, you know, available for grazing. The only thing about sometimes when, not all horses, but some horses, when they eat clover, it can kind of give them, as people call, the slobbers. And that just makes them, you know, drool a lot, more or less. But but that is interesting now. And I just thought about this. I remember it's been within the last few years about you could kind of train your cows to eat certain weeds to help with weed control. Now, as far as that practice goes, what is your feelings on that, and how would one go about training, you know, cattle or whatever it may be to eat the undesirable weeds?
So, and I'll back up just a little bit and go back to kind of what you said, Rob. A weed is an undesirable, a plant in an undesirable location. So what may be a weed to me may not be a weed to you.
Right.
Because, you know, maybe you have goats, and so goats will eat some of those things that your horses don't really care for, or my cows don't really care for. So, you know, and I always tell people, we used to try and grow orchard grass hay, and ryegrass would sometimes get in the orchard grass fields. Well, ryegrass is a great forage. I mean, it makes really good hay. It's really good grazing. It's a really good grazing grass, but in a square bale hay, a square hay bale, it has its problems. So to us, ryegrass and our orchard grass was a weed. But to me now, ryegrass is a great forage to have in a pasture. So it's all kind of, you know, depending on what you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish, what your goals are as to what a weed could be. Now, trying to get animals to eat them, went to a conference several years ago where they talked about this, and she was a lady, I think, from somewhere out west, Utah, Washington State, or somewhere out there. And so she could train cows to eat, like, thorny weeds. And it was a process. Like, you had to start with something they like some type of grain. You had to change that out every couple of days. So it was a process, and I have to say most people are probably not going to go through that process because it was time consuming. But I think if we implement rotational grazing and we put a large amount of animals or a large amount of body weight, depending on what animals we're talking about, you can do it with pretty much everything, and we give them a small section of grass, they're probably going to eat some of the things that they might normally would pass over because they know they're only going to be, they come to realize they're only going to be in this little section. They're only going to have access for a little while. And if they don't eat it, their neighbor will. So let me go eat that green plant so that Bessie right beside me doesn't get it. I want to eat it so she doesn't. So, and again, you know, you kind of have to be careful to some extent with that because there are some things out there that can be toxic. You know, it's probably more complicated than what we can really get into over the radio here for this hour. But there are some things that have been classified weeds in the past that can make good forages. Kudzu is really high in protein. I don't know that you can get cows to eat kudzu. I guess with time you might could. Goats love kudzu. Well,
right,
most
yeah.
of us, first thing we think of when we think of kudzu, it's a weed. I mean, it has its place. It was brought over here to try and help with erosion, but it is really high in protein. Pigweed is really high in protein. So if we can get animals to eat pigweed, you know, that's really high in protein too. So, you know, there's some pluses and minuses. There's some things to consider. But, you know, a weed is relative. Again, what might be a weed to me may not be to you and vice versa.
Well, I appreciate you explaining it that way. And so a big part of it comes down to pasture management and controlled
Absolutely.
Grazing. And so
yep.
You've done a good job explaining that, Kim, and I appreciate it. Hey, we need to take a break. I need to get a word on for JT, Allison, Jody, and Kim rocking the county one load at a time. And we'll also get some information to our listeners about the auction in Aiden, North Carolina for Growers Jennings Company from Jason Acock Auctioneering. More Gardener's Corner after these messages.
Do you have those annoying potholes in your driveway? Need some driveway regrading? Or maybe you just need some new gravel? Give JT Allison a call. Jody has been in business for over 25 years, specializing in driveway grading and hauling gravel. He also does all types of small tractor work and some backhoe and bush hogging work. Jody strives to do a top-notch job and to make sure that you, the customer, is always happy. Whether it's a small job or a big job, we have multiple truck sizes to accommodate your needs. Here at JT Allison, We appreciate your business. Check us out on Facebook at JT Allison, LLC, or give us a call at 336-583-6250. Jody and Kim Allison, we are rocking the county one load at a time.
Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces the farm equipment auction for Growers Genning Company to be held Saturday, February 18th at 10 a.m. Sale location 5732 West W. Gaston Road in Aden, North Carolina. For terms, pictures, and more information, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. The auction will be held rain or shine, bidding in person or online through proxy bid. Up for auction on Saturday, February 18th at 10 a.m., tractors, cotton pickers, trucks, backhoe, tillage, and planting equipment. That will be Saturday, February 18th at 10 a.m., the auction conducted by Jason Acock Auctioneering for Growers Genning Company, 5732 West W. Gaskin Road in Aden, North Carolina. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com for more information or call Jason at 919-495-0285. That's 919-495-0285. We do appreciate the support of Jason Acock Auctioneering and JT Allison. Jody and Kim rocking the county one load at a time. Miss Kim Woods is our guest today here on the program. Kim, before we went on air, you had mentioned something about some information that Michaela Berryhill wanted you to pass along, something about, is it a corn referendum or whatever you call it?
Yeah, so the Corn Growers Association of North Carolina is doing a referendum. I'm going to have to go back to the notes so that I can make sure I get all this correct. And it's going to be held March 14th, so about a month from now. You'll be able to come to the Extension office during our regular business hours to vote. Any corn producer in the state is allowed to vote. If you have multiple farms, you can't vote multiple times. You can only vote once as the corn grower. If you're a corn grower, you can come to the office and vote yay or nay for the referendum. The association is committed, the Corn Growers Association of North Carolina is committed to promoting production agriculture, funding research that benefits corn growers across the state, and representing all the state's farmers nationally and internationally. So again, that's March 14th, and I think a lot of times these referenda are held to and the voting is whether or not to continue the referendum. I think this one they're actually trying to increase the amount. So if you are a corn grower in the area, I would suggest reaching out to Michaela to try and get a few more details. There's probably some information online. I don't have a particular website that you could go to. But I would just advise everybody to look at it, because I think they are trying to increase the amount that they're going to assess. But again, that money is used to benefit the corn growers in the state. So just wanted to let everybody know that referendum vote is March 14th. Again, it will be at the Extension office, so you can come to Person County or Granville County, whatever is most convenient for you, during our regular business hours on March 14th to vote in either yay or nay for that particular referendum.
All righty, some good information. Now, Kim, I understand that y'all
let me throw in there one other event real quick, if I can, Rob. I know
Absolutely.
We're getting short on time.
That's right.
So we're going to have a North Carolina Beef Cattle Field Day March 18th, which is a Saturday. So I guess it's a month from this Saturday. And it's going to be right here in our backyard at the Butner Beef Cattle Field Lab, located there in Bahama at 8800 Castham Road. So they did this a few years back, and then with COVID and everything, we just haven't had one for several years. So it's going to be from 10 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. Lunch will be provided. This is a free event, so there is no charge. You do need to register, though, so they can, you know, try and make sure they have enough food and have enough everything set up to handle the number of people that they're expecting. This year's program is going to talk about research updates from the North Carolina Beef Systems team on byproduct feeds, and I think a couple of those feeds are cotton gin trash, or like a cotton byproduct, and also wet brewer's grain. There's going to be some updates on some reproduction research that's been going on, parasite prevention, herd health, and pasture renovation. So again, this should be a really good field day. It's right in our backyard, so I mean, most everybody can be there in probably 30 to 45 minutes. So be a great day to get out, meet some other beef producers, learn about some research that's been going on, not only there at Butner, but at some other sites across the state. And you get lunch and it's free. So I do have something on our Person County and I think our Granville County website about the event and where you can go to register. Again, just trying to get a head count so they can make sure they have everything set up to handle that many people. So March 18th, go online and register and sign up, and hopefully we'll see you at Butner in about a month.
Some good information. What I was going to mention, Kim, I understand that last Friday night, the hog farmer documentary, that you all had a good crowd in attendance to watch the film.
We did. So Johnny and Michaela and I planned these two events to showcase that documentary. We showed it in Granville County on the 3rd and last Friday night, the 10th, in Roxborough. We had no idea how many people would show up. We had about 35 people in Oxford, and we had about 75 people in Roxborough last Friday night. It was a really good crowd. Before the movie, the documentary started, a lady asked, well, how long is it? And I said, well, I really hate to tell you how long it is. I said, because these chairs in this auditorium are not very comfortable. I said, it's just shy of 2 hours long. I said, but I really think you're going to be so engrossed that you're not going to realize you're sitting here for 2 hours. And I've had a couple of people tell me that they really did not realize that the movie was, you know, an hour and 45, hour and 50 minutes long. And we were lucky enough to have Mr. Joey Carter, who the documentary follows. He came up to Roxborough last Friday night. He, and along with Chad Herring with NC Farm Families, they were there in attendance and were able to answer questions that people had after the documentary finished showing. So they were able to talk about where he, you know, what he's doing now. Does he still have his farm? And, you know, just kind of all those follow-up questions that people may have had. So we were really pleased to have that many people come out. Somebody asked if they could see the movie later. And so I'm trying to pull it up right now as I talk, and I'm not very good at multitasking. I think if you go to the website hogfarmerfilm.com, there should be a link there where you can stream the video through, I believe, Amazon Prime. There's a little bit of a cost to stream it through Amazon Prime. I think maybe $5 or less. Don't quote me on that, though. But I would highly suggest everybody go watch this documentary. It's a lot sad. It's disheartening. It's maddening. There are a couple of funny parts. But Mr. Carter's positivity and ability to see that something different and better maybe down the road is just inspiring, if nothing else.
Wow.
And I think people need to realize how connected we all are, whether you're in production agriculture now yourself or not. We're all connected. We all eat, most of us, three times a day, some of us more than three times a day. And, you know, this gentleman no longer has hogs. And more than likely he will never have hogs again. And I just think it's really important for people to realize what can happen. I think the neighbors of Mr. Carter were probably manipulated by the attorneys that came in from out of state. And I know we're getting close to time, but I would just say go to hogfarmerfilm.com and think about streaming that video again through Amazon Prime. I've seen it three times now, and I see something different every time. It's very powerful.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Kim. I sure do. And you are right. We're just about out of time. Well, actually, we've went over time, but that's okay. That's all right. That's quite all right. We want to say a thank you to T.G. Brooks Supply Company, Jason Acock Auctioneering. Keep in mind to keep up with the most updated event on Jason Acock Auctioneering. Visit his website, jasonacockauctioneering.com. We also appreciate the support of Loftus and Son Land Services, JT Allison, Kim and Jody Allison, rocking the county one load at a time. So if you're tired of the mud, call on Jody at JT Allison and he'll rock it over for you. So, all right, Kim, have a wonderful and safe Friday afternoon, a good weekend, and we'll join in. Thank you, ma'am.